It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built Fuller Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. Yes, it is. A feel-good football Friday, a feel-good league championship series Friday. There are some feel-good Fridays where we don't have to manufacture the feel-good. The feel-good is already there. It is woven into us. Today, it's a little bit different. There's just a lot of stink from last night that we have to clear. And that's why we do these feel-good Fridays. We always say nothing drags us down on a feel-good Friday. So today, we've got some work to do. We've got 4 hours to do it. And hopefully we're able to turn your mood around if you are a Mets or a Yankees fan. Of course, the Mets fan a lot more disappointed than the Yankee fan right now, even though they lost a just heartbreaking, crazy baseball game. But they're still up 2-1. The Mets obviously on the brink of elimination. But man, you want to talk about as fun and as crazy as a baseball game that we have seen the Yankees be a part of in a very long time, unfortunately on the losing end. That was yesterday out in Cleveland. And the Dodgers are just slapping around our team, man. Just slapping them around. And hopefully, when I am at the game a little bit later on today, we see them at least send this series back to L.A. so we don't have to watch the Dodgers celebrate at Citi Field. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. You know, I'm not a Yankee fan, but if I were, I'd be in stunned disbelief. That's how I would characterize yesterday's complete meltdown. It's amazing. They had total scored 8 runs in the last 3 innings between these two teams. And Luke Weaver had 2 out, and then 8 pitches later, the game was tied.
Yeah, I mean, it was a meltdown for both teams. I mean, think about it. The first was the Guardians meltdown, and then the Yankees meltdown.
It is. I will say, when watching all these games now, and you watch them closely, and these are the final four, and it's really great that, you know, both teams here in New York have gotten this far. You realize, I mean, you do realize, and we all realize this as baseball fans, and we know it goes on throughout the season, but it never really, it comes into focus, but it really comes into focus when you get to this level and to this, you know, the end of the season, you're in October baseball, how important the bullpens truly are and what they do and how they do it. And I think the Mets had, I want to say, 12 punchies yesterday, I heard. and I think the Dodgers had 11 punchies, whatever those are. But no, actually, strikeouts is what I'm talking about. I just heard somebody on this radio station yesterday describe them as punchies. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I heard that as well. It was Brandon Tierney. He's a baseball guy. Played at Marist.
Yes.
You know, he's got all the lingo that we've never heard. So,
yeah, punchies. I have too many punchies. I played football.
Yeah.
And I have football lingo, but I don't use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, it just goes to show you, like, what the Mets have to do. Now, the Mets, they hit the ball well yesterday. They had traffic on the bases. They just couldn't get the key hit. We all know it. And there's nothing more frustrating than not getting the key hit. And there are a lot of guys, whether it be your guy, Jesse Winker, or Jeff McNeil, or, you know, Francisco Alvarez gets a hit last night. I mean, everybody had opportunities to really participate and keep up with the Dodgers. But, you know, once the Dodgers, and Mookie Betts now is getting heated up, and Ohtani, you know, hits the second pitch of the game out, you're like, oh, what are we doing? So it's frustrating. It's demoralizing for sure. You're going today. I hope that somehow, some way, the Mets can get it to a game six. But it just feels now, after watching these last two games, this Dodger bullpen is, while they'll put guys on base, I mean, when they need to get an out, they get an out.
Yeah, and the Mets bullpen has been horrendous when called upon in this series. Jose Quintana, they talked about it incessantly on the broadcast. I mean, we understand that he has the biggest chase rating, throws the fewest amount of strikes, and the Dodgers take most pitch. I mean, they said it. Every 10 seconds, they talked about it. We understand. And he wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. But he had them in a situation to be able to still win the game. And obviously, you talk about the lack of offense, and then the Dodgers just explode again. So there's two ways to look at it.
There is the way that I feel, and what we've seen is that the magic has run out. We are watching a wizard or a sorcerer lose his power right in front of us, and it just feels over. It feels like they had this magical run, and they've walked right into a propeller. They hit the buzzsaw, whatever stupid analogy you want to use. That's what it feels like.
And the problem is, it's at home.
Right.
I mean, they just got drilled at home two games in a row, and I'm disappointed. Normally, I'm like, I see the glass half full, but not in this case.
Well, right. But there is a path for a glass half full, and that's really the only way that I can go into Citi Field tonight. Because I don't want to show up there feeling like it's a funeral.
Yeah, you don't want to have a defeatist attitude.
Right, because it's like then I'm just ruining every part of it. So if the game ends up going like these last couple of games have and they get blown out again and the season's over, okay, that would suck. You know, but I want to go there with some juice. I don't want to feel like everything is done. So here's whether you choose to believe or not, you know, there's fact over feeling and things like that, but if they can somehow, and Flaherty wasn't great the entire postseason, he was great against the Mets, but they can somehow get out to a lead, Peterson's pitching, he pitches really well, and the Mets have some magic one more time, you go back to L.A., and they got their bullpen game against Manaea again, which is the game that they won, the other game that they won, and there's a path to a Game 7. So that's what I'm going to be thinking about when I walk in there. However, they look like they're getting pounded like a veal. I mean, that's what it feels like right now.
Yeah.
And, it's tough.
It's very disheartening. It's very disappointing, especially when their stars are showing up and hitting home runs. If their stars are showing up and hitting those, getting those key hits, getting on base. The chase rate thing yesterday was just incessant. I mean, my head was going to explode. We all understand that Quintana is a nibbler. You know, he likes to nibble, and and the reason he doesn't want to throw a strike is because of what Shohei Ohtani did with the second pitch of the game.
Right, and you know, Max Muncy is
killing us.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like him. Like, he honestly, and Smoltz said it, he does not swing at balls. Like, does not.
And the Mets do, or the Mets stand there frozen with the ball coming right down the middle.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That's another thing. I don't know what's going on with them. I mean, like, they're either guessing or they're completely fooled. You know, and by the way, you know, Yamamoto, again, like, you give a guy $350 million and he pitches like 4 1/3 innings.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy he's not on the Mets right now. And you give that type of money, to a position player who is young and plays every day. That's why Juan Soto is going to get the money. Or you give it to a guy like Shohei Ohtani who can do two things. And then he can, when he's hurt and can't do his pitching, he still wins an MVP as a 50-50. That's the money. Those are the guys you give the money to. But yeah, so I was disappointed. I was defeated. But if I've sat here and talked about for years how I've matured as a sports fan and an adult, I can't let what happened the last couple of nights ruin my day today. Like, I have to have a good time. I will have a good time. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to feel beaten all day long. So I'm going to, even though I know what we've been watching and I know that it's bleak, I'm just going to try my best to make the most out of today. And if they win, how special would that be?
Well, you want to know something? What is really special?
Yeah.
Is this leaf that you're overturning this morning.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because it doesn't put like a lot of pressure on me today because I didn't know how you were going to be. You know, I do know that Panarin had a hat trick last night, so there's something I can like dive into. You know, it was on ESPN Plus or Hulu or something. I forget what it was on.
Yeah,
I was able to watch that, and that made me feel good.
Sure,
it made me feel good that the Ranger power play is where it needs to be. And then I was thinking about those poor Yankee fans who had to sit through that 8-pitch debacle. You know, in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, it's two outs, right?
Two strikes.
Well, we got two outs, and then, you know, you're obviously give up the double.
Well, yeah, but that was two strikes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then a guy that basically, he comes up the plate talking about, you know, where's he been? What's he been doing?
What's he doing, yep.
What's going on? He's like 1-for-17 or something. And you're thinking, all right, no problem. Boom!
Yeah, I mean.
And that was a no-doubter.
Right. And then even, you know, prior to that, you know, with the Yankees, the Guardians had exactly what they wanted with Clase coming in saying, all right, he hasn't pitched in the series. He's ready to go. He's going to give us, you know, a 4-out save. And then here is Aaron Judge, bang, then Giancarlo Stanton, bang. And you're like, oh, my Lord. Like, the Yankees are going to just sweep this series, forget about it. Then they tack on. So it was just as unlikely a eighth and ninth inning that you could possibly script. And I don't think this catapults the Guardians. I mean, I just, the Yankees still, I believe, are going to win in five.
I mean, it was a moment yesterday, you know, obviously Judge and Stanton.
Yeah.
You know, that's legacy stuff. That's stuff that just, you know, great moments are made of, and you're thinking, okay, the Yankees just did something. Okay, we got this, and Luke Weaver's been great for them. And, I mean, eight pitches later, it's so amazing that it happens so fast.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys are talking on the broadcast about, yeah, Clase and how good he was in the regular season and how his, basically, his what he's given up in the postseason, in his handful of appearances, in a couple of series, is equivalent to the amount of runs and hits and home runs he's given up in the entire regular season. So you really have no idea. And then Weaver, of course, as we know, has been spectacular for them. I mean, you could have made the case that he was the best reliever in the postseason up until this point. And then he chokes it up. So
Clay Holmes comes in and then he chokes it up.
Yeah, I mean, right.
I mean, Clay Holmes needs to come in before the last inning.
Sure, which has been working.
Yes.
Which has been working.
And by the way, there was, you know, an article was written yesterday that this Yankee bullpen is doing, you know, great things and it's, you know, going to be a legacy bullpen and then this happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still believe that it's a strength of theirs.
But it just goes to show you just how important these bullpens are in these games.
But you also can't write. Did you ever
feel yesterday?
Can't really predict it either.
Even when Phillips had the bases loaded,
mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like somebody was going to come up and get it?
No, I mean, I haven't. I haven't this. I mean, of course, game two, you had the big hit from Vientos and you had Lindor lead off the game with a home run. But these two games at Citi Field have just been, I mean, I don't know how many times we got to see them stranding runners at third base with less than two outs. And the fact, I mean, think about
the bases loaded with no outs.
Right. But it's that. It's, you know, first and third, one out. How about the fact that they scored on essentially a miracle for Brandon Nimmo beating out the throw on that double play? That's how they got that run home from third there. The guy's got plantar fasciitis. He could barely move. He hits a rocket to second base and somehow still beat that throw.
You know what it is?
It's impossible for them to score.
I had that same thing, and it just derailed the end of my career. It is when you're doing what Brandon's doing and he's trying to do, you don't even think about that your foot hurts when you know you got to get down to the base.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it.
Right.
And then after you do it, you realize, man, what, you know, obviously he had to do what he did. But then you see him running out into the outfield in the next inning, and you can see that is just, it's killing him.
Yeah, no, it is. And he's talked about being in a walking boot as soon as the season ends
because
and all that stuff.
There's nothing you can do. They'll put some PRP in there, and they'll try to, stabilize it for about 6 weeks, and hopefully it will heal on its own, and they'll do some modalities to it. But it's literally the worst. And he's out there busting his ass. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, of course. And he's doing everything he can for the team. You know, Freddie Freeman was doing the same for the Dodgers. Obviously, he didn't play last night. I think you'll see Nimmo again tonight. I don't think there's any way he's not going to be in the lineup. I would like to see J.D. Martinez out of the lineup tonight, quite frankly. I do think this could be finally a full Jesse Winker game. And, you know, Francisco Lindor, other than that home run in this series, know, the Dodgers have figured him out.
They're
striking him out. So they're working him inside. You know, they're throwing those curveballs on the when he's hitting lefty on the inside part of the plate, and he's swinging over top of it. They're throwing fastballs up in the zone. He's not catching up to those. And if he isn't him to be the catalyst for this offense, then it's even worse.
You know, both the Mets and the Dodgers both left 12 men on base.
Yeah,
When you think about the opportunities that the Mets had and they just couldn't cash in, and that's...
Same thing the other night. Yeah, same thing in game three.
It's basically, it's the difference in this series.
So, okay, so then you can, you know, if you want to be glass half full, you could say, hey, I mean, they've had the opportunities. You know, maybe they get the big hits tonight.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the way Flaherty pitched in game one, you're like, oh, you know, but the Dodgers...
But so it's baseball, man.
It is, and... You know, the Dodgers want desperately to finish this series in five. They don't want to go back to L.A. and play another game and have a bullpen game and then go up against Manaea, who had them looking silly. They don't want any part of that. Because then they're thinking, you know, they get this sphincter shrinkage in game seven and they've had all these playoff busts and all this stuff. They don't want that. So, I mean, maybe you can make a case that, you know, they're a little bit tight because they're wanting to win this game.
A little bit tight. I don't think they're tight. I don't think there's anything
I'm
tight
trying,
about.
Man. I'm saying, you know, and the Mets have nothing to lose at this point, and the pressure's off. It's like, hell, we're supposed to lose this series now. So, you know, maybe that mental factor plays into it. I'm trying.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm proud of you. I am proud of you.
I am trying.
Taking your mom to the game tonight. Going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be like, I'm so proud of you, turn on this new leaf, and then yes. I'm trying to give you reasons to believe, and you're like, eh, tired about it. Dodgers going to stomp all over him. Yeah, I am. So I will have a good time with my mother no matter what tonight. We're going to have a good time. We're going to get there early. There's a little, a pregame party thing that's happening over there at the K Corner. We're gonna go and hang out there. Fleegs was there yesterday. He had a good time there. So
Fleegs is leaving town.
What do you mean he's leaving town?
He's leaving town for the weekend.
Where's he going?
He's going to see Taylor Swift down in Miami.
Oh wow.
Surprised he's not off today.
What what day? Saturday?
So we're definitely going Saturday. I'm getting in tonight. We're gonna see if tickets drop. We might also throw in tonight.
Oh, okay. But Sunday you're leaving open, right? For
Sunday, I'll be at home watching, right, hopefully, the Mets live and Jets on DVR and not watching the Jets live.
All right. Nice, man. That's a nice little trip for Fleegs. So if the worst case scenario happens and the Mets get eliminated, Fleegs is down in Miami watching his...
Right. What number concert is this for you?
Overall or just this tour?
No, overall.
What an answer.
That mask is going to be harder to do. I think it's low double digits, like 10, 11, that range probably.
All right. Okay. I actually thought you were going to say like 30.
Yeah. I thought, yeah.
Totally. No, I'm doing the math. This is at least 14. I was wrong.
Okay. All right. 14. 14. Dedicated.
She owes you. You're a Swiftie. She owes you. You're paying a lot of money for that.
You know what? The Mets owe us, just as Al said this morning. The Mets owe us one more special night. They do. The fans who were there. The OMG, the rally pimp, the whole thing. The people who've been in the purple grimace costumes. Just one more night, please.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're giving away Giants Eagles tickets twice this morning in the 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. hour, so stay tuned for that. A game that we all will be at, meaning me, Boomer, Jerry, and of course, Phil. Phil Sims. So it's going to be a spectacular broadcast for Compass Media Networks. I hope that they understand how special this is there at Compass Media Networks, and I hope their sponsors understand. This is a huge deal.
I will say,
all just star cast.
Just dealing with Compass Media Networks for the short time that I have this week.
Very professional.
Man, top notch.
A plus.
And what I'd like to know, Jerry, is if our fans would like to listen to us doing the game and you doing the play-by-play and me and Phil doing the analysis, and I got our man Gio down on the sideline giving us up-to-date injury information.
Oh, yeah.
Where can they find us? That's right, can they listen to us?
Yeah. I would go to the Compass Media Network's website, and I'm sure you can find a list or you can stream it from there.
You have no idea.
Nope.
I mean, you know, Jerry,
I know where. I reached out.
Promote the broadcast,
and we're on all over the country on CBS Sports Network, and we will be on a Sunday. I was told around 125 stations around the country.
Okay.
I don't have a list of those stations.
I mean, are any of those stations Odyssey stations? Because maybe you could go to the Odyssey app and then open that station.
I don't know, listen to it
on the Odyssey app. But I don't know. Is that even possible?
You could open the Odyssey app and probably search Giants Eagles and find the different broadcasts, I would think.
Does anybody, like, could you go like to NFL.com possibly and get the broadcast there?
I suppose. I don't know.
I don't go to NFL.com.
You're
supposed to be a freaking professional.
I'm working, and I am, and I work the broadcasts every week.
Yeah, but where
but
is
I don't go
it?
Search for them. I don't know.
Are you sure?
I don't know what channel CBS Sports Network is on Optimum. I don't know. I don't know what channel it is on Cablevision or Verizon Fios.
Yeah,
I don't know.
This is like a Super Bowl broadcast when you think about who's doing it with you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you can always listen to the Giants here on WFAN with Bob Papa and Carl Banks.
That's true.
There's a lot of people around here that would like us to say that as well.
Yes, in New York, absolutely.
But I
know, that's what I'm saying. We're not going to be on in New York.
We will not be.
That's
or in
point.
Philly.
But we're going to be on in Dallas because they're on.
I would think so. I don't know. I would certainly believe so.
See, that's an Odyssey. That would be an Odyssey station.
The Fan in Dallas
would be an Odyssey station.
Although they air Cowboy games locally, but they could definitely pick up our game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's an NFC East game. It would make sense.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know of whether or not WFAN has ever picked up a Compass Media Network
100%.
Broadcast? They have.
I know that for a fact, yes.
All right, so Odyssey stations do that, and maybe you could go to the Odyssey app.
That's what I said, and you can search Giants, Eagles, and you might find all the various broadcasts, whether it's IP and Merrill Reese, Bob Papa here in New York, or us. Right.
I guess so, yeah.
Yes.
All right. And if you go to the Compass Media Network's website, there's a huge picture of the three of us up there and a story written about us doing the game.
How about that?
So very nice. All right. I know you got lots of audio from
Thanks
a big
for telling
day.
Us, Jerry.
Big day
Tell
of baseball.
You what? What is with you? I might throw you out of the booth on Sunday.
Bring it on, baby. Let's go.
I'll be the one get tossed over.
Yeah, probably. All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. The end of this, the late innings of this Guardians-Yankees game yesterday was pretty wild. So I'm going to give you everything. So you've got the Yankees down 2 in the 8th inning. Aaron Judge is up. He represents the tying run. Mike.
1-2. Swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field. A two-run home run to tie the game the opposite way. The Judgian blast. And all rise. There comes the judge.
Yeah, so that was John on the Fan and TV. They must have given you 17 different angles of that home run, which was just bizarre. So it was 3-3 at that point. Up next was Giancarlo Stanton, and I think he was 0-2 very quickly. Fouled off a bunch of pitches, and then here was Stanton.
1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone! Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly.
And both of them off of Emmanuel Clase, the great closer from the Guardians, and all of a sudden it's 4-3 Yankees. They add a run in the ninth. Could have added two. They get one, make it 5-3.
I know one thing. Whoever is going to play the Yankees in the World Series, because I still believe they're going, they're going to have to work on their defensive rundown game, because the Yankees run themselves into so many freaking problems.
Yeah.
I mean did they ever go over base running, Jerry?
Yes, every Tuesdays and Thursdays.
They do.
At practice. Yes,
I mean,
do
they actually still practice?
I don't know what they do. I have no idea.
I don't know what they're doing.
Ask Sweeney. Where's he been? I don't know.
Sweeney.
Call Ed Goldman. I have no idea.
Do they run the bases poorly? Yes. Do they practice it? I don't know. Are they going to get better at it? Who knows?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
So let me take you to the bottom of the ninth now. You got Luke Weaver on. You had, as you pointed out, two out, nobody on after the double play. Then you get a double. And then John Skinnawell comes up, pinch hitting. And I love the setup by Tom Hamilton.
John Kenzie Noel's last home run came against Pittsburgh August 30th. No time like the present. 5-3 Yankees, runner at second, two down, ninth inning, and the 1-0 pitch.
Oh, yes, it was. Tom Hamilton, Guardians Radio. First of all, the sound on the radio sounded like he just exploded the baseball. And then when you see it, there was a no doubt about her. And then, so that's 5-5. Then you go to the bottom of the 10th. The Yankees don't do anything with their turn at bat. And then here comes good old David Fry.
Cleveland down 2-0. 5-5 in the 10th. Holmes is ready. Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
And he went on to say Bedlam, yeah. I believe, in Cleveland. Yeah, exactly. 7-5.
That guy's awesome. There's a couple of play-by-play guys across the country in other markets. Like the Denver Nuggets guy is great.
Yes.
Tom Hamilton in Cleveland with the Guardians is awesome. He really is really, really good. So I was listening to those yesterday. I actually sought them out to hear his calls because I know how good he is.
Next hour, I'll reverse it. I'll give you Hamilton with the Yankee calls and John with the Guardian calls. He's just as good, not quite as animated, but just as good with the Yankee calls as well.
He's got a great voice as well.
Very much
really
so.
Strong voice.
So two.
By the way, I just noticed when we were talking about our Eagles-Giants broadcast on the Compass Media Networks, CBS Sports Network.
It wasn't CBS. Actually, Compass Media Networks put that up there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
I thought it was CBS Sports Network.
No, they didn't put that up there, no.
Oh, okay.
It so makes it actually even worse.
It does. So, on their website, what's it say?
It says, breaking news, Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms to do play-by-play for Giants-Eagles game.
Hmm. That sucks. Where am I? Hmm.
You're not in there.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And you're the voice of Compass Media Network.
If it makes you feel better, you're in the picture.
Well, that's nice.
You're in the picture of all of us there, but yeah.
Hey, Blum, you screwed it up. That's okay.
Breaking news. I'll send you the picture, Jerry.
I'm fine. I will survive.
We want equal billing, if not more billing, because you'll be doing more talking than any of us.
I don't get the sense I will, actually.
Yes, you will.
Actually, I don't.
Yes, you will. I'm going to let the broadcast breathe.
Oh, there you go.
Fourth quarter, it's a blowout game. All of a sudden,
I'm going to leave.
Phil's like, well, I'm Phil Simms. I played in the NFL. I think about my injuries every day, I saw the commercial on TV, and I said, I'm going to do it. I tried it. I do it. Phil. Phil, I'm sorry. Sorry. Going into my bounce and injury.
And Boomer will be gone.
See you.
At that point. Here's Steve in Vogt. So is that the best game you've ever been a part of?
As a manager, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know if it gets much better than that. Two of the best closers in the game right now. You get to them. That doesn't happen hardly ever. And I think there's one person that could hit that pitch off Emmanuel Clase out of the yard, and he did.
Yep, and he, of course, is Aaron Judge. A Judge then talking about Weaver and Holmes giving up the big at-bats in the game.
It's baseball, man. Stuff like that happens. You don't like to see it in that situation, but these guys have been so good for us all season long, and especially in the postseason, these guys have been lights out. So, stuff like this happens, but, I think everybody in this room has faith in our guys, so like I said, we'll move on, get ready for the next game.
And speaking of moving on, here is Luke Weaver. That's what you got to do.
It's baseball. Things like that happen. And a twist of an arm, and it just feels a little devastating. But at the end of the day, like you said, you got to bounce back. We're still in a good position.
They are. They're still up 2-1. Game 4 tonight, you've got Luis Gil taking on Gavin Williams. First pitch on the Fan with John and Susan at 8:08. You get the reversal of the two start times from yesterday to today. All right, we get to the Mets. And fair to say, things have not gone well. Yes, they won one of these four games, but they've also gotten drilled in the other three. They were shut out in the first two. They weren't shut out last night, but pretty damn close.
The 2-2 hit in the air to left field and deep. Nimmo back onto the track at the wall. It's gone. And that'll certainly change that psyche again of the fans, as they are as quiet as at any time maybe this season. Mookie Betts has hit a two-run homer.
Yeah, made it 7-2 Dodgers at that point. They would tack on a few more, 10-2 the final, as L.A. goes up 3-1. How about Betts' night? 4-for-6, also had a two-run double, drives in four. Tommy Edman drove in three runs with doubles in the third and the eighth. Here was Carlos Mendoza, the Dodger offense, relentless.
You got to give them credit because that's a really good lineup, and they can do a lot of different things. You know, this is a team that controls the strike zone as well as anybody in the league, and not only they do that, but when they force you in the zone, they can do some damage.
Yeah, they're not swinging at balls. The Mets do. That's pretty much what's happening. Here's Jose Quintana. He suffered the loss. Bad night across the board. Quintana, 5 runs on 5 hits, 4 walks over just 3 1/3.
You know, it was a tough night for us. And you saw we need more forward, you know, turn a page and come back strong tomorrow.
And they will do that later tonight with David Peterson facing Jack Flaherty. A Dodger win, and they advance to the World Series. And the Mets' magical run is over. A win for the Mets, and they send it back to Los Angeles for Game 6.
With Sean Manaea on the mound.
That's true. And that's the bullpen game, right? For the Dodgers, it would be. So we shall see. All right, a couple of things from the NFL. You had the Broncos beat the Saints 33-10. Javonte Williams ran for 88 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Richard Sherman at halftime, I think it was 16-3 at halftime. Here was Sherman on Amazon talking about the Saints and their lack of effort, essentially.
Tony, I'm confused. I'm vexed. I'm hurt.
All right, so their coach is Dennis Allen, who was...
Where is he broadcasting from? The apocalypse?
On Jesus. On the field
wow.
In the stadium.
Sounded like Bourbon Street is what it sounded
like. Yeah, I mean, this was the Saints on offense are just awful. You got to remember, they're missing their top two wide receivers. Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, and Shaheed is out for the year now.
Yep. That sucks.
And they got a rookie quarterback. It's a mess. This isn't the team that we saw the first 2 weeks of the season, that's for sure.
Dennis Allen was asked about this postgame.
Richard Sherman had some pretty harsh words for the team on the broadcast at halftime. He said it doesn't look like they want to tackle. It doesn't look like they're putting in any effort. You said last week you still believe in the effort of this team. Do you believe that after watching the last 6 quarters?
Yeah. I don't agree with him.
So you think that the team was... I mean, there was no quit at any point.
No.
There's a lot of people asking coaches about their team quitting these days. So, not a good day for them. Denver did sack Spencer Rattler 6 times, so their defense up to par yet again. Hockey, the Rangers did beat the Red Wings 5-2. Artemi Panarin, the hat trick. Jonathan Quick, 29 saves. You also had the Devils beat the Senators 3-1. The Blues shut out the Islanders in overtime 1-0. And you got Game 4 WNBA Finals tonight with the Liberty leading the Lynx 2-1.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football and Postseason Baseball Friday. We are trying our best to feel good after those two losses last night by both the Yankees and the Mets. The Yankees lost just absolutely shocking, and we'll see if there's any carryover with the Guardians and if they can somehow make this thing a series. I don't believe that they will. I think the Yankees are that much better, and the feeling around what is going on with the Mets and Dodgers is sort of the same thing, with the Dodgers just looking that much better than the Mets. But you can't discount this team coming back from the dead, the Undertaker meme. They're always there doing it. They just haven't done it
in this series, and when you're talking about three blowouts like that, it's just it's hard to believe, especially when you've watched these games. It's hard to believe that you're going to get both things happening at the same time, meaning that the Mets are going to get the big hits and they're going to somehow shut down this Dodgers lineup that is as tough and relentless a lineup as they have seen all year. And I mean, guys like Max Muncy are the biggest pains in the asses, and it's a respect thing. I'm not trying to knock the guy at all. He's just a pain in the ass for opposing teams because he's always on base.
Yeah, well,
always.
11 straight times for a record, and a lot of those are walks. He's got a bunch of walks. He's got a great eye. He doesn't go fishing, if you will. And, you know, this is the kind of discipline that you need at the plate. And quite frankly, their relief pitching has been better. Their hitting, especially in timely spots, has been better. And let's face it, you know, their top-end stars showed up. Mets have not. You know, I mean, Vientos has done well. I mean, you know, coming back and getting a home run in the bottom of the first was great yesterday.
Yep.
That was exactly what you wanted. And that kid's going to be great, man.
It's
interesting. I'm watching the Yankee game, and I'm saying to myself, okay, they don't have a legitimate first baseman. They don't have a legitimate third baseman. The ball seems to find Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. You know, and they just rely on the middle of their lineup. They hit home runs and win games. And
well,
then
and also the bullpen.
And then they bring in a strong bullpen, right, which unfortunately failed yesterday. But so did Cleveland's bullpen to some degree failed as well.
Class A guys asking.
Cleveland's got a great bullpen too. You know, that's the thing that the Mets need to really, and I'm sure David Stearns understands that when you watch the Dodgers, if you want to try to emulate what they're doing, okay, they got their stars, they got Betts, they got Muncy, they got Hernandez, they got of course Shohei Ohtani, they got all those guys. But man, I'll tell you what, their relief pitching is just they're like a machine.
Yeah, I mean, they've been building for years. They've had disappointing finishes. Obviously, they go out and have the big offseason this year with Ohtani and Yamamoto. So it feels like, I guess, that they're ready to do it finally in a full season. They won in the COVID year, so you could look at it like that. And this is why Steve Cohen said, you know, all those years ago that he wanted to be Dodgers East. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be able to have homegrown guys and then have the money to bring in the stars and to be sustainable and to be there every single year. And you know, maybe the Dodgers, maybe it's their time and not our time.
It may not be, but we'll see. Yeah, you're going to the game tonight and you never know.
No, I when I'm saying baseball's a funny sport, Boomer. You know, you never know what's going to happen on a night in a night count basis.
Teams go on a 3-game run, like, you know.
You're right. So, but if you go one pitch, one inning, one at bat at a time, but so there really is like
the problem is they are going one pitch, one bat at a time, and the Dodgers are doing a better job.
They are much better,
especially when it comes to the pitching part of it.
Much better job, and you're sort of going on a little bit of blind faith in this series because the Mets team that got here and all the magic and never say die, we haven't seen that team for a majority of this series. So you're kind of going on a little bit of blind faith, but there really is, like, you got a game at home with your backs up against the wall, a 5-0.
And by the way, you got your best pitcher, I think. I know Mania's been great. But
no, Mania's your best pitcher.
Peterson has been great this
year. He has been.
I'm not even talking about the playoffs. I'm talking about the regular season. You know, we went to go see that game against Washington, and he was on the mound that day.
Yeah.
When Randy got hit in the ass with a foul ball.
He did. And how about Francisco Alvarez last night?
Thigh.
Oof. Yeah.
Right on that bone, man. That thing hurts you. Like when you play football, you get tackled there.
Yeah.
And you get a helmet right there. That's if it's a little bit higher, it's hip pointer area.
I was thinking, how much money did Steve Cohen give to Yamamoto to do that? Trying to get him out of there. But there is, you can make a case. And I mean, if this team has proven you anything, that you just don't give up on them totally. You can make a case if they could somehow beat this team tonight, that there's a path to a game seven and a really legitimate path to a game seven, because you've got Mania against a bullpen game and it's what you did and you won in game two. So, you know, that's the way you got to think about it. It's just, it just feels like they're so far away. Like, can you see the Dodgers only scoring two runs tonight?
No, not the way that they played the last three games. Two games.
That's the point. I don't see a 4-2 win for the Mets.
But you know what Peterson will do? I'm getting so sick of this, but Peterson's going to pound the zone.
Yeah. With spin. With spin. Is he pounding the zone with spin, Boomer?
Yeah, I guess so.
To get his punchies?
It's too much.
Yeah, I know.
It's just too much.
Every sport is when your team's winning is great, when your team's losing is bad, but playoff baseball when your team is winning as opposed to your team losing, I feel like those peaks and valleys are so great. Especially with some of the analytical nonsense that goes on during these broadcasts.
Oh.
You know? Losing, you just don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't need to hear about the spin rate on this when my team's down 5 runs again. Don't care.
You don't. How about exit velo?
Yeah, don't care.
Okay.
Don't care about the punchies right now.
You got the munchies. You don't want the punch.
Right.
Right.